Hello, everyone. I want to start a new series where I make the case that patriarchy is in the best interest of men across the political spectrum. And in order to do that, I'm going to have to tailor the message to different groups. So this is going to require different videos to appeal to different groups. And I thought about starting with the far right and moving left, but I've been dealing with the far right a little bit more than usual lately. So just to mix it up, I'm going to start at the middle. So today's subject is I'm going to present the case why patriarchy is in the best interest and is ideologically and morally consistent with those in the center. Your egalitarians, your centrists, your moderates. Now this is going to be a tall order because by their very nature, egalitarianism and patriarchy are mutually exclusive. However, I will show that if you are a rationalist who lives in the real world, it is in your best interest to support patriarchy. So first, I have to ask you a question, and I know that this is a one-way conversation. You have no way to realistically answer this question except by leaving a comment. Do you believe in communism? Do you think that the government owning all the means of production, all the wealth, all the property, taking from those who have and giving to those who need, is a good idea? I'm going to guess the answer is no. I'm going to guess you do not support communism, because if you did, you would be considered far left. And we're not talking about the far left right now, we're talking about people in the center, the moderates. So I'm going to guess that you reject communism. Why do you not support communism? Take a minute to answer that, pause the video if you have to, and then we're going to move on. I'm going to assume that the reason why you don't support communism is it doesn't work. It leads to millions of people dying and starving, and it's just horrible. It doesn't work in reality. However, communism is built on the value of equality. You have these two values, equality and freedom. And when one advances, the other one retreats. One can only grow at the expense of the other. The more freedom you have, the less equality you have. The more equality you have, the less freedom you have. These are mutually exclusive values. However, I'm going to assume, once again, that you think both equality and freedom are important. And yet, you cannot have both. One must come at the expense of the other. You can try to create some kind of balance, but judging on your beliefs, you're going to prioritize one over the other. In a situation where you have two groups, and you must side with either freedom or equality, all things being equal, where do you fall? Which value would you prioritize in a situation? Would you prioritize freedom at the expense of equality, or would you prioritize equality at the expense of freedom? Now, generally, if you prioritize freedom at the expense of equality, you're probably a center-right moderate. And if you prioritize equality at the expense of freedom, you're a center-left moderate. Again, I'm not calling you a communist, I'm not saying you're far left, I'm saying that you prioritize equality at the expense of freedom, unless you are a center-left moderate, okay? I'm not judging you, I'm not saying you're wrong. These are value judgments, there is no objective answer. There is no one-size-fits-all, freedom is always better than equality, or equality is always better than freedom. These are value judgments that we make as individuals. However, I will say that while we can't say that one value is more or less important than the other, we can judge the outcomes of societies which prioritize one or the other. And generally, societies which promote freedom, even at the expense of equality, do objectively better than societies which promote equality at the expense of freedom. So we've established a couple things. We've established that you do not support communism because it doesn't work. And so you value what is practical and what works. However, I'm going to assume that you also think that equality should be prioritized over freedom. So you're a center-left moderate. Perfectly fine. Perfectly fine. Now you believe in egalitarianism. Let's actually get back to the subject at hand. Patriarchy and egalitarianism. You believe that men and women should be treated equal. Now I'm not saying you think men and women are interchangeable. That would be absurd. Clearly men and women have different genitals. They have different bone density, physical strength, intelligence, and so forth. Men and women are physically and biologically and fundamentally different. So of course you don't think that men and women should be treated the same in all instances. You have to take into account that men and women are biologically and fundamentally different, and so they must be treated differently. However, you think that in some cases, men and women deserve equal respect, or they deserve equal rights, or they deserve some kind of level of equality, which doesn't go all the way to being interchangeable and being treated exactly the same. Here is the issue. This line you have, because clearly you don't go all the way to full-on gender interchangeability, but that line you have is too far. Let me explain why this line you have of how men and women should be treated equally, how it's too far, it's too extreme. And it doesn't work, and it's going to fail in the very same way communism fails. So let's start with a couple issues. First, let's talk about the draft. Obviously, women don't have to fight in war. They can sign up for the military, and they enjoy lower standards, but they don't actually have to fight if they don't want to. And even those who do, unlike men, they can get pregnant in order to get out of any deployment with no negative consequences. If a man injures himself to get out of war or a deployment, he'll be court-martialed. If a woman gets pregnant to get out of any sort of deployment or war, nothing happens. So even if a woman signs up for the military, she doesn't actually have to go to war, she can just get pregnant. And even if she goes to the war, she's most likely not going to serve in any combat role. Even in Israel, in Canada, in places where they have integrated military units, 96% of combat troops are men. So even if a woman doesn't get pregnant, the chances she's actually going to have her life in jeopardy is very slim to none. Now there's this red herring going around about the draft where feminists and people will be like, well, I'm not in favor of anyone being drafted, as if that solves the problem. It doesn't. Because without a draft, without a lottery system in order to choose a select number of individuals to go to war, the country would simply say, everyone report, we're all going to war. Every able-bodied person, get ready, we're going to war. I don't think that's what you want. I don't think that's what you mean. But you're trying to avoid the question. If women are not subject to the draft, they would not be subject to conscription either. Men would still have to fight in the wars without women, even without the draft. They would simply be conscripted. The draft is simply a luxury that a large country like the United States can afford because we don't need to conscript every single able-bodied man. In smaller countries, that's what they do. They don't have a draft. They simply conscript every single able-bodied man. Would you be in favor of women being conscripted? Would you be in favor of women serving in the draft? And saying that no one should be drafted or no one should be conscripted is not an answer. Clearly, when there's a war, someone has to go fight the war. Who's going to fight the war? Who's going to defend the country in the case of an invasion? This is not a question you can simply sweep under the rug and say, well, no one should fight in wars. A war shouldn't happen. We should talk about our problems. Wars sometimes happen. War Pearl Harbors are sometimes bombed, and sometimes you are dragged into a war. And you can't just tiptoe around it and talk your way out of it. You have to fight for the defense and the survival of your country. So let's return to the question about the draft and or conscription if you don't want to have a draft. It doesn't really change the issue. Should women be drafted and conscripted alongside men? Should women be forced to serve in combat roles in equal proportion to men? Not 96-4, but 50-50. Push women onto the front lines to get shot and die just like the men. If you said no, then you are admitting something right now. You are admitting that men are responsible to protect women. Men collectively have a responsibility to women, and women do not have a responsibility to men. This is a one-way responsibility relationship. Men are solely responsible for the protection of the country, for the defense of freedom, and the women simply get to enjoy it. And that is not reciprocated by women towards men in any other area. If men are to have responsibility over women, then men must have authority over women. Responsibility must come with commensurate authority. Responsibility without authority is slavery. And authority without responsibility is tyranny. You must have authority and responsibility together. Now, if you believe that women should be forced to serve in the draft, should be forced to be conscripted, and should be forced on the front lines in equal numbers to men, then you believe in a utopian, naive system in which women are either going to die in droves or be forced into infertility. And this isn't me talking out of my ass. If you force women to step up, to become equal to men, stop coddling them and all that other stuff. First of all, you're assuming women are capable of that, and you're wrong. But secondly, we know, we have known for a decade, that this leads directly to infertility. And there's an ABC News article, and there's a study, which I'll link. The first one is from the ABC News article. This is from 2010. Female athletes are too fit to get pregnant. And it's an article talking about female athletes who, because of their physical training, can't give birth. The physical training of being a female athlete drives women into infertility. Now you'll be like, well, these are world-class athletes. The world champion soccer teams of women lose to 15-year-old boys. For a woman to become a peak physical athlete, to compete with a 15-year-old boy who's only halfway through puberty, drives her body to infertility. There is no way for a woman to compete with an 18-year-old man, let alone a fully grown, athletic, peak male. None. There is no chance in hell for a woman to compete with a man at that level and not drive her body to infertility, when simply being on the level of a 15-year-old boy drives her body to infertility. And this is not my opinion. There's a peer-reviewed study called The Effects of Intense Exercise on the Female Reproductive System. So you can read these articles, you can read these studies. This is a fact. When a woman tries to compete with a man physically, she becomes infertile. And even when women do this, they cannot compete with men. They can barely compete with 15-year-old boys who are only halfway through puberty. Women are physically and biologically incapable of being responsible for themselves. Women are physically inferior to men. And to force them to try to take responsibility for themselves is going to drive them to infertility. Now, why is fertility such an issue? We'll simply look at the birth rates in Western countries. The low birth rate is the cause of limitless problems in society. It is the low fertility which is causing the Muslim immigration problem seen in Europe and throughout the West. Western countries with welfare states have to bring in immigrants in order to prop up their welfare state. There are numerous studies or numerous papers written about this. When the native population stops having children, they have to use immigrants. Well, since the entire Western world isn't having children, the only place to draw immigrants from are relatively undesirable countries like the Middle East and Africa. They're the only ones with the excess population. And it's not good for that country, but what other option do you have? Get rid of the welfare state? Well, how are you going to do that? In fact, who voted for the welfare state? It was women. So let me just take you on a little journey here. So you have women being given voting rights, who vote themselves the welfare state, stop having children, and are physically and biologically incapable of being self-reliant. They require the welfare state to give them the illusion of independence, to give them men's money so they don't have to get married. Women are always dependent on men. They always have been, they always will be. They're either dependent on a man directly through marriage, or they're dependent on men collectively through the welfare state. But now the welfare state's going bankrupt because women aren't having any kids by their own choices. And now immigrants are coming in, raping kids, committing terrorism, and no one can stop them because they are the future. The future belongs to those who have babies. So here's the bottom line. Egalitarianism doesn't work. It may be the morally right thing to do, just like communism doesn't work. And yet, if you believe in equality, it is the morally right thing to do. In fact, Cortez says this. She believes in doing the right thing even if it doesn't work, even if it's impossible, even if the facts aren't on her side. She believes in doing the right thing. And people in the center, the moderates, the skeptics, they call her out as crazy. And I agree, she is crazy. You have to do what works in reality. You can try to do the most moral thing. You can try to strive for a balanced society which takes into account the fact that women are dependent on men and men are responsible for women. This is simply a fact. It has always been thus, it shall always be thus. And taking that fact into account, you need to create the best system possible, which is viable. Egalitarianism is not viable. Look at the birth rate. It doesn't work. It's a slower death than communism. It doesn't fail as quickly. It doesn't lead to the starvation and murder of millions of people as quickly. But it fails nevertheless. It does not work, even if you believe it's the right thing to do. It is incompatible with human nature and biological and observable reality. However, there is a system in which the rights of women and the rights of men are balanced, commensurate with the responsibility each of them bears, where women are protected, provided for, and cared for, and men have authority over that which they are responsible. And this system is time-tested and proven to increase fertility and lead to a viable, long-term, sustainable society. And that system is called patriarchy. I'm Turd Flinging Monkey. Thank you for watching, and I'll see you next time.